All active. Calling.
Calling all reactive agents.
All active.
Calling all active agents. Calling all.
A new vinyl release of groundbreaking tape recorder experiments by literary pioneer and late Kansas resident William S. Burroughs got me thinking about how words and music have always been interdependent. A musician who writes songs necessarily becomes a poet. It's interesting to me, though, that the direction can go the other way when poets and authors undertake musical projects. Lots of times it ends up being a spoken word recitation with musical accompaniment. This is a broad category, spanning everything from Homer's Odyssey to hip-hop. Burroughs himself did musical collaborations with the generations of recording artists that he influenced: Laurie Anderson, Sonic Youth, Ministry, Kurt Cobain, and dozens of others. Langston Hughes predated the Beats, reciting to the accompaniment of Charles Mingus. Gil Scott-Heron continued to raise social consciousness with "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised." Some call him the father of rap, although he's using a live band, not breakbeats. All rap is, of course, poetry, so of all the rappers I could name, I'll mention Mos Def, now known as Yasin Bey. His poem, One Called Trill, was recently published in the Paris Review. Other poets dare sing. Leonard Cohen was a published poet well before he began doing music, as was Patti Smith. Smith was a friend of Allen Ginsberg, the evolutionary link between the Beats and punk rock. She was also the one who encouraged literary lion Jim Carroll to start a band. I hope artists like these continue to keep the distinction between words and music nice and blurry.
There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised.
Gil Scott-Heron there with "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised" as we come into musical space this week. I'm Fletcher Powell. I'm here, of course, with Mark Foley.
Hi, Fletcher. How
are
you doing?
Mark, good. And we're talking about here poets turned musicians. You definitely mentioned William S. Burroughs. Let's just start off with a little bit from him. You found something called Recalling All Active Agents.
Yeah, this is an example of just some tape recorder experiments that he did. One of his many innovations was he would take some text that he had written, and with the scissors he would cut it up into little slips, and then randomly pick those slips and put them back together. It's called the cut-up technique. A lot of people have used it. Like David Bowie would use it to write lyrics and stuff when he needed inspiration. But he did the exact same thing with tape recordings. So he's one of the first tape experimenters, which makes him one of the first musicians to play with this medium. So yeah, here's William S. Burroughs recalling all active agents from an album Breakthrough in Gray Room.
Calling agents, all active agents, calling.
Of course, as you mentioned, William Burroughs influencing so many different artists, Laurie Anderson certainly being one of them.
Yeah, she was an art rocker that kind of took over the New York scene in the 80s. And this is her second album, Mr. Heartbreak, where she brings in a lot of really interesting guest artists, which is, I think, indicative of her genius. I mean, she would bring together a lot of disparate people, and she made this really great album. Peter Gabriel's on it, a lot of other people. William Burroughs is one of the guests on here, and he does this beautiful recitation, Sharky's Night. It's the last tune on the album.
Sun's going down like a big bald head, disappearing behind the boulevard. It's Sharky's Night. Yeah. It's Sharky's Night tonight. And the manager says, Sharky, he's not at his desk right now. Could I take a message? And Sharky says, hey, Kamasabe, long time no see. He said, hey, sport, you connect the dots. You pick up the pieces.
And then still going with William Burroughs, certainly no shortage of what he did creatively and with a lot of other people, even into the world of experimental jazz.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a band also from the 80s. They're called Material. They're run by one of my musical heroes who you've never heard of. His name is Bill Laswell. He's a bass player, so near and dear to my heart. But he has this great band, Material, and they asked William Burroughs to recite over this song, Seven Souls, which is the title track of this album.
The ancient Egyptians postulated seven souls. Top soul, and the first to leave at the moment of death, is Ren, the secret name. This corresponds to my director. He directs the film of your life from conception to death. The secret name is the title of your film. When you die, that's where Ren came in.
And then, of course, as you were talking about poets turned musicians, certainly one of my favorites who you mentioned, Leonard Cohen. I remember when I was younger, I had books of his poetry. It's very clear from his music that he is at heart a poet.
Yeah, the takeaway for me is that he is so passionate about his words that he need to figure out a new market to get it out there, right? I guess he was really disappointed in his book sales when he was, you know, in the 50s. And so, well, like a lot of other people, let's start a band. So this is a song called Chelsea Hotel No. 2. Chelsea Hotel is kind of an icon of music history, and a lot of rock bands stayed there in this kind of cheesy hotel in New York City. So, lots of stories coming out of there. And his poem is one of them.
I remember you well in the Chelsea Hotel. You were famous, your heart was a legend. You told me again you preferred handsome men, but for me you would make an exception. And clenching your fist for the ones like us who are oppressed by the figures of beauty, you fixed yourself. You said, well, never mind. We are ugly, but we have the music. And then you got away, didn't you, baby? You just turned your back on the crowd. You got away, I never once heard you say, I need you. I don't need you. I need you. I don't need you. And all of that jiving around. I don't mean to suggest that I loved you the best. I can't keep track of each fallen robin. I remember you well in the Chelsea Hotel. That's all, I don't even think of you that often.
Thank you.
The Fall, they're probably my favorite post-punk band. And yeah, you've never heard of them. But they're a very, very big deal. The lead singer, Marky Smith, is a poet. And so his songs are pretty much poetry recitations with a rock beat behind it. This is a really interesting piece called Garden, which is his take on the Garden of Gethsemane story, but it's very, very abstract, and so it's hard to kind of tease out what he's really talking about. So it's really cutting-edge poetry, and it happens to be played by this amazing British band who really changed things, very influential. This is on an album called Perverted by Language.
I see what flows from his mushy pen, garden, garden. That person has films on TV. Trying to perform country and western.
Then, of course, you also mentioned Patti Smith as someone who began as a poet before moving into music, being a friend of Allen Ginsberg. This, her take on Smells Like Teen Spirit, kind of extraordinary.
Yeah, this is such a multi-layered tune. It's really, really amazing to me. I mean, she helped invent punk rock in the 70s. And it's because she was so passionate about her songs that she, or her words, she needed to bring it out. She needed to bring it to a bigger audience. And but she's always had this thread where she will cover other people's songs. But that same passion comes out. I saw her live in, I think, 1979. And she did that Debbie Boone tune, You Light Up My Life, right? Completely sincerely and no irony whatsoever. She liked the song, and so she did it. She belted it out and just had us all in tears. So here's another cover she did. Smells Like Teen Spirit, which is kind of a grunge rock anthem, right? This is on an album she did called 12, which is all covers. But then, there's so many layers. I mean, she does it with a bluegrass band. So she tears away the whole kind of hard rock aesthetic and just pares it down to its very basics. And then in the middle, she introduces this poem that she had written. So she takes this song really far and doesn't take anything away from the power of the song. You know, it's still really, really powerful. So I really enjoyed this a lot. Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Innocence transfusing street of the sorrows and children of the wood, hounded, shredding all veils, unwinding all sheets of the dead world, droning, overturning tables, laden with silver sacrificial birds, beating goatskin drums, advancing with hands outstretched, when we keep filling them with mercury, nitrate, asbestos, baby bombs blasting blue, scavengers picking through the ashes, children of the mills, children of the junkyards, sleepy, illiterate, fuzzy little rats, haunted paint, sniffing, stoned out of their shaved heads, forgotten, foraging, mystical children, foul mouth, glassy-eyed, hallucinating.
So many iconic names that we've already mentioned, but maybe none more iconic than, as you said earlier, Langston Hughes.
Yeah. So here we are in the Harlem Renaissance. The Great Migration brought African Americans to the big cities. And this is coming from the New York school. So Langston Hughes was running with these amazing jazz musicians, and some of it got recorded. There's this this project Weary Blues, which is him reciting over a jazz band. Leonard Feather did the arrangements, and yeah, as a bass player, I'm really interested. Charles Mingus is on the project, so it's very passionate.
Sons of Saturn, this is what I'm gonna sing. The sons of Saturn, this is what I'm gonna sing. I feel the blues are coming. Wonder what the blues will bring. I got those sad old weary blues. I don't know where to turn, I don't know where to go. Nobody cares about you when you sing so low. What shall I do? What shall I say? Shall I take a gun and put myself away? I wonder if one bullet would do. Hard as my head is, it would probably take two. But I ain't got neither bullet nor gun, and I'm too blue to look for one.
Of course, you mentioned Gil Scott-Heron. We heard a little bit ago, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, probably the song that people know the most from Gil Scott-Heron. But he did a whole lot of work, and a lot of it very, very, very political.
Yeah, which is interesting. I love how art can get political. It's a new kind of emotion, right? It can really tap into some deep things. Check out Whitey on the Moon.
But Whitey's on the moon. I wonder why he's up in me. Because Whitey's on the moon. Well, I was already giving him 50 a week, and now Whitey's on the moon. Taxes taking my whole damn check. The junkies make me a nervous wreck. The price of food is going up. And as if all that crap wasn't enough, a rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the moon. Her face and arms began to swell, and Whitey's on the moon. Was all that money I made last year for Whitey on the moon? How come I ain't got no money here? Whitey's on the moon. You know, I just about had my bill of Whitey on the moon. I think I'll send these doctor bills. Air mail special. To Whitey on the Moon.
Going to the hip-hop world after coming out, I guess, of Gil Scott-Heron there. Someone who is one of the most poetic, I'm going to say, hip-hop artists, and somebody who's even been often compared to Walt Whitman is Mos Def. You mentioned he now refers to himself as Yasin Bey, although I will say he still calls himself Mos Def on Twitter. Regardless, he's a great artist, and his debut album as a solo artist, Black on Both Sides, has a ton of great work on it.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Mos Def. Even his acting.
He is a very good actor.
He's really good, yeah. Uh-huh. So, yeah, he gets into character, but he's a really influential rapper if you haven't checked him out. There's a duo project called Black Star, which is really, really good. And this is kind of when he steps out as a solo artist. And I just love this song, Mathematics. With the probable test, the universe expands left. The body of my sex possess extra strength. Power lifted, powerless, up out of this towering inferno. My ink so hot it burned through the journal. I'm blacker than midnight on bro, where you're myrtle. Hip hop past all your tall social hurdles, like the nationwide projects, prison industry complex. Working class poor, better keep your alarm set. Streets too loud to ever hear freedom ring. Say it back in with your sleep. It's dangerous to dream, but your chain cats get they chip. You dead now. Killing fields need blood to graze the cash cow. Some numbers game, but this shit don't add up somehow. Like I got 16
16 to 32 bars to rock it, but only 15% of profits ever seen my pockets. Like 69 billion in the last 20 years spent on national defense, but folks still live in fear. Like nearly half of America's largest cities is one quarter black. That's why they gave Ricky Ross all the crap. 16 ounces to a pound, 20 more to a key. A 5 minute sentence hearing and you're no longer free. 40% of Americans own a cell phone, so they can hear everything that you say when you ain't home. I guess Michael Jackson was right. You were not alone. Rock your hard hat black as you in the Terror Dome.
And then as we're closing out, you mentioned Patti Smith, who we heard from earlier, was the one who encouraged Jim Carroll to start a band. Talk a little bit about Carroll.
Yeah, he's an amazing literary figure. He started out writing poetry, I think, when he was 13, which is about the time he became addicted to heroin, too. I mean, really tragic figure, you know, kind of what you want in a literary figure, right? Sorry about that. No, I'm a huge fan of his work. He wrote The Basketball Diaries, which was his adventures in New York City when he was, you know, dealing with drugs. But also, he's one of the great high school basketball stars of his time. And also, he's a published award-winning poet when he's a teenager. He accomplished all these amazing things. He was actually a roommate of Patti Smith for a while. I can just imagine what that was like.
Oh, my.
Yeah. But, she encouraged him to start a band like she did. And so I got to see this band, the Jim Carroll Band. And it's just kind of the same thing. His words amplified by a rock band.
And we'll take it out there on Jim Carroll as we wrap up Musical Space for this week. Mark, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Fletcher. This is always a lot of fun for me.
And for KMUW, I'm Fletcher Powell.
So they died of hepatitis in Upper Manhattan. Sly in Vietnam, bullet in the head. Bobby OD'd on Drano on the night that he was wed. They were two more friends of mine. Two more friends that died. Those are people who died, 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 died. They were all my friends and they died. Mary took a drive down from a hotel. Bobby hung himself from a cell in the tombs. Judy jumped in front of a subway train. Eddie got slit in the jugular vein. And Eddie, I miss you more than all the others.